Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. I mean, do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a magic wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the magic wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I've been so obsessed with my magic wand, I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago. Because now there are multiple iterations of the magic wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the magic wand rechargeable, tiny with the magic wand mini, or micro. Micro's really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure. Okay, real talk. We all have embarrassing moments in the bedroom, you know, like gas, bloating, indigestion, and more. And I hear from so many of you with stomach issues, and it's keeping you from the pleasure you so rightly deserve. Well, I got some great news. While studies show that gut issues directly impact our arousal, erections, and overall sexual health, I got a game changer for your overall wellness. Introducing Just Thrive Probiotic. It is my secret weapon for overall health and the fuel for my sex life. Just Thrive Probiotic isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is a clinically proven game changer, a gut superhero designed to up-level your passion and sex life. So no more embarrassing moments, only a life of gut-powered ecstasy. That sounds good, right? It's the first probiotic formulated with four ancestral survival strains, clinically guaranteed to reach your gut 100% alive. This probiotic is like your personal gut gardener, maintaining the health of your gut by eliminating bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and replenishing the good, making it a game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, and even your mood. With Just Thrive, you'll nourish your gut microbiome, fueling your mind, body, and soul. So say hello to increased libido, enhanced pleasure, and a whole new level of satisfaction. Oh, don't miss my episode, Why Gut Health is Sexy with Tina Anderson, where you can learn more about this groundbreaking company. For a limited time, you can try Just Thrive 100% risk-free by visiting justthrivehealth.com and enter promo code SEXWITHEMILY at checkout to save 20% off on a 90-day bottle of Just Thrive probiotic. So take charge of your gut health, take charge of your sex life, and live your healthiest life yet with Just Thrive. I think that to really learn how to please your partner, whatever that takes and whatever that looks like, that once you really get there, that it'll be so satisfying. And I think that you'll forget that you might have had doubts about oral or anything else with sex.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. On today's Best of Mashup, I break down the oral sex double standard. Remember DJ Khaled? Well, if you don't, we're going to get into it. The evolutionary importance of oral sex. Why you don't need to be intimidated by vibrators. Tips for alleviating delayed ejaculation. Ways to overcome insecurities. And what to do when you've given up on having an orgasm. I also discuss how to address mismatched libidos in a relationship. Tips for getting ready for anal play, how feeling pressure to perform can affect the quality of your sex life, and the best tips to approach potential partners. And if you guys want more specific tips for oral, just check out our FAQ section on our website, and we have an oral FAQ that's going to lead you to podcasts and articles that will give you the tips. Here's just a few that we will put in the show notes. 6 oral sex tips for going down on a vulva. Mind-blowing oral sex in under 5 minutes, the Kiven method. And for going down on a penis, check out post-traumatic oral disorder. So if you have a question that you want answered on the show, all you got to do is send me a message, sexwithemily.com/askemily. We have a form on our site. It's super easy. You just have to include your name, your gender identity, your location, age, and how you listen to the show. And yes, I'm totally cool if you change your name. And also stay tuned. I really miss talking to all of you. I know you miss me. I miss you even more. And I'm working on starting up the Sex with Emily hotline again. So you can call and leave me a voicemail with your questions. And we'll also have a time set where you can just call in and I can answer them live. And remember, you can find me on all social media. It's at Sex with Emily. All right. Intentions with Emily. For each episode, let's set an intention. I do it. I encourage you to do it. So what I mean is, when you're listening, what do you want to get out of listening to this episode? How could it help you? What are you working on in your sex life or your relationship right now? Well, my intention is to just get you to think differently about oral sex and also answer some of your most common questions that you keep asking me, and you know that I want to get you all the answers. All right, everybody, enjoy the show. So recently, you guys, DJ Khaled revealed, or the story got picked up, that in 2015, he admitted in an interview that he doesn't perform oral sex on his wife because there are different rules for men. He explains, you got to understand, we the king, there's just some things y'all might not want to do, but it got to get done. I just can't do what you want me to do. I just can't. So he's basically saying that, you know, I get it. Like, he's like saying he doesn't love oral sex. He doesn't want to go down on his wife because he comes in and say, like, I'm taking care of the house and the bills and whatever he says why later. And this article's interesting because it breaks down actually the history of oral sex. DJ Khaled was not the first guy to say this. Freud theorized that men are terrified of the vulva because they subconsciously fear it will castrate them, which, by the way, it will not. It will not castrate you. So attitudes in non-Western cultures have been different. So in China, Taoism taught that ingesting vaginal secretions would strengthen the yang or the male essence, which is obviously true. And the Kama Sutra was very clear that the more orgasms you give to women, the better. And this fear of the penis being replaced or not enough is very palpable throughout all these things, even with the descent towards the vibrator. People don't love the vibrators. I think that there's this fear that your penis is not enough and that maybe your mouth isn't even enough or that your mouth is threatening your penis. And jokes that the vulva is dirty have a very long history. So the Romans considered the word clitoris an obscenity. So why do we do oral sex? Well, evolutionarily speaking, oral sex serves no procreative function, and there have been many theories as to what's driving the behavior. Like, why do we want to have oral sex if we can't have babies? Which is why a lot of our sexual behaviors are driven, evolutionarily speaking. And they think that maybe when a man went down on a woman, they were thinking that he's hunting for another man's sperm. And I've heard all these things about men. The tip of your penis is actually shaped, thus it can pull out sperm, you know, like from our ancestors. Like the caveman would come home and from killing, you know, wild boar, and then he'd use the tip of his penis and he'd have sex with the woman to pull out sperm. Have you guys heard that one as well? But here we are today, and I don't even know why there's a debate about oral sex. Why is there a debate about oral sex? Why is there a debate about vibrators? Why is there even a debate about squirting? I think it's funny. And even the G-spot. All this stuff that we know feels amazing and benefits so many people and that we all love, like that I'm actually speaking to you, that people are debating it. When we know that it feels so goddamn good. But, and I'm not bashing guys here at all. You guys know that my heart, I love, love, love men, and I'm just here to help you. There are so many women out there that don't typically like to give blowjobs either. So I understand this is an equal opportunity oral ditching zone. So what I found about oral sex is that it comes down to the worry that we're just not good enough. So I think there's women who say they don't like oral because they just feel like they don't know what they're doing and they don't know that they're doing it right. And same with guys. And I think that guys, I feel that there's many men who's like, nope, that's not my thing. I'm not going to do it because perhaps once they were told they weren't good at it or their partners doesn't seem to be pleased by it. So they just stop altogether. And they don't even remember that time that it happened where they were told that they weren't doing a good job. And this goes for men and for women. So that's like one camp. And then there's the camp of men and women who I think really just don't like it. Like they just don't like doing it. You know, maybe you don't like the taste or you had a bad experience. But if that is the case, when you're like, yeah, there's just something about it and I'm not sure, Talk to your partner about it. Communicate that I'm not sure what it is, but I really want to please you, babe. And maybe give yourself a benefit of the doubt. Maybe it is that you haven't really performed oral on someone to success or what success looks like in your book. But if that's the case, you guys, then talk to your partner about it. Just say, you know, babe, I've been feeling like I really want to perform oral. I know that that's something you're into. How can I do it better? How could I please you? And really, your partner can show you. You guys can do the whole mutual masturbation thing. But my challenge here was around DJ Khaled, that he just declares like, no, I'm the king and men should not perform oral sex, but expects that they should get a blowjob in return. And that's just furthering the double standard. And it's kind of a cop-out. If his wife is cool with it, that's fine. But I just feel like he's missing out. And I think that to really learn how to please your partner, whatever that takes and whatever that looks like, that once you really get there, because it takes work, you guys. Real great sex takes work, that it'll be so satisfying. And I think that you'll forget that you might have had doubts about oral or anything else with sex. That's why I think every new partner is a new chance to co-create a new relationship and a new sex life. That's what I got to say about oral and DJ Khaled. We have Michelle. She's 26 from New Mexico, and she says she has a higher sex drive than her partner and not sure what to do. Hey, Michelle, thanks for calling.
Hi, Emily. How's it going?
So good. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Walk me through this. Tell me where you're at now.
Yeah. So since we've last talked, I suppose, I'm actually recently engaged. So
congratulations.
Really excited about that.
Yay.
Thank you. Excited, but you know, our relationship is amazing. He is my life partner. I love him to death. I'm really excited, but there's this one part of our life that doesn't completely align. And, you know, okay, I guess it sounds silly, but I just have a higher sex drive than he does. And I don't know if it's because he's a few years older than me and he kind of has a damaged sexual history past, and there's a lot to it, but it comes down to him really only wanting to have sex once a week or less. It's not high on his priority list. Anytime I really try and make that effort, he kind of shuts me down sometimes, not all the time, or he'll say things like, oh, are you trying to be sexy?
Oh,
like, yeah, I'm trying to be sexy.
Michelle.
Don't ask me that.
Okay. Oh God. Okay. I'm so glad we're talking about this, because it's not just a little thing. Everything's perfect, but sex, you know, when sex is the problem in the relationship, it kind of takes over everything. So it's a big thing. Sex, to have a challenge around sex, not a bad thing, not like an ending thing, but you got to like realize that it's okay to be concerned about this. And it's great that we're talking, because this is the person you're going to spend the rest of your life with. We got to do some work right now. First of all, I want you to know that it's not weird. In fact, women often have higher sex drives than men. It's just the pesky societal norms that have told us that women are the ones who want less sex than men. So it's really common. Mm-hmm. There's always, typically it ebbs and flows throughout a relationship, or there's just always one person who wants it more than the other. That happens. That's like pretty much standard in a relationship. So that's okay. So you don't have to like apologize or you think it's weird, because it's not weird at all, Michelle. So I would say like couples have to compromise. They have to talk about it, because that's something that you guys can negotiate on. My concern here is a few other things that you said, and that you said that he has, his early sex history is a little, what word did you use? Sketchy or questionable?
I don't even remember.
Just damaged?
Damaged?
So that to me is where I'm going red flags. Because if we don't work on early trauma, early anything, it's going to stay with us for the rest of our lives.
Right. So, and, you know, it's one of those things where we do have a lot of communication. We talk about this a lot. We talk about it very openly and often, because it does come up. And our communication is fine on it, but sometimes if I push it or I bring it up too often, then that makes him say that the more I talk about it, the even less he wants to do it. You know, he has to be in that mood. He doesn't just come home and want to have sex, or he really has to be like, no stress, nothing on his plate, nothing, you know, nothing that could preoccupy his mind. He doesn't just like always feel ready to go.
Well, that doesn't happen with anybody, okay? Like the stars are supposed to be aligned, everything's supposed to be perfect, and then, oh, he's going to want to have sex. Like, who doesn't have stress on their mind every day? So that's not realistic. So his standards for wanting sex are not realistic. And I know many women who feel the same way too. Like, oh, everything has to be perfect. Well, that's not life. I think this goes back to whatever happened to him earlier in life. And also, if he's ever gotten checked by his doctor, if he's truly not desiring sex, he get his testosterone checked. He shouldn't have a problem with it at this age. I don't know if he drinks or takes any drugs or medications that could also impact his sex drive.
No medications. I mean, he drinks casually, but not anything excessive. And I think a lot of the trauma from the past, we also have very different upbringings. I come from a very loving household and my family was great and his not so much at all. And to deal with abuse and a lot of other things in his past that I understand he has trauma in his past and that is rolled over into who he is today as a person. And I try to be understanding of it.
But has he ever had therapy to deal with, even if he says he's past it and you guys talk about it, has he ever really gone into it, what happened to him and like the depths of it and kind of felt it and released it? And
yeah. Okay. Yeah, he did go to therapy after the incident when he was younger, when he was about 13.
Okay.
He did do therapy then. I've suggested it to him now and he's not opposed to it. Like if we really get into a conversation, we're in the groove and I've suggested it, he's been open. But then if I bring it up again, he's like, no, like, I don't think I need to.
Yeah.
But I think he should.
He has to. I'm telling you, untreated trauma just progresses in people and it's going to be there. And again, maybe we'll find out that it's not even about this. Maybe it's something else. But I think that therapy for you guys is really huge right now. Even before you get married, I would get into it because, sweetie, if you find out that right now it's once a week and it's just going to get, he's going to get busier, right? You're both young, you're working in your careers. He's going to have more going on. Then sex could get less and less frequent. You don't want to find that out when you're already married and you have kids. You want to work on that now.
Right.
But at least if you go to therapy, you can find out that no, he actually just really wants it once a week and that's how he's going to be. Well, then you know, right? And then you know what you're working with. But right now you're getting kind of different messages and he might not really understand it either. So I think bringing in some help, going to see a therapist together would be super helpful. So you have my permission to go forward and make this something that you guys work on together and prioritize your sex life. Because if you don't do it now, it'll be a lot harder later.
Yeah, I completely agree. So, okay. You know, I think that's something that we'll definitely try and, you know, we've tried to just be aware of it. And I've asked him to just, if we even have to schedule it, have sex every Sunday.
Yeah.
And if that's where we have to start with each other and just make sure that it's on our radars and then I'm not thinking about it. And the next time it's going to happen. And it sounds crazy to have scheduled sex when we're so young, but you know, if that's the way right now.
Exactly. Exactly. I love scheduled sex because scheduled sex is made for couples who are really busy. They can't fit in or they have different times they want to have sex or they just want to make sure they have sex because then you're not thinking about it all week. Then you know Saturday night, we can look forward to it. It's our night. You get sexy, you get dressed up, you feel really good and you know that it's happening Saturday night or whatever night you decide. I'm all for scheduling sex and I'm also for finding out how would he like you to initiate sex? Like if he says, are you trying to be sexy right now? You can say, babe, what would turn you on? Like, how do you fantasize about me initiating sex? Like, I don't know.
Right.
Like maybe there's just some other ways to talk to him to kind of figure out what really does turn him on. And then he could find out what really turns you on too.
Yeah.
It's a good time, Michelle. You'll be so grateful.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Yeah. Sounds like a good plan.
Okay, good. I love it. Good luck to you. Stick with this. Thanks, Michelle.
All right. Thanks, Emily.
Have a good night. Bye. Okay, guys, I love this. This call highlights so many of the challenges I hear about. Number one, you guys, trauma. If there's any sexual trauma, either you or your partner, I'm telling you, it gets progressively worse over time. And you have to go into the origins and the roots and like deal with sexual trauma. It just keeps rearing its ugly head until you get into it. So I think therapy is just great for couples. I believe that it helps couples, it helps individuals, no matter what, trauma or no trauma. And then scheduling sex, you guys, it's brilliant. I hope that you've heard me talk about that a lot now too, when you no longer carry any stigma around scheduling sex. And also like let your partner know specifically if you feel like your needs aren't getting met or you've said something a few times or your partner has requested something of you, ask him like, what does initiating sex look like to you? What does more foreplay look like to you? What does more intimacy look like? Like if your partner says something and you walk away going, I'm not sure what, I'm doing something wrong here, but I don't know what it is. It's okay to ask questions. Remember, having the conversation about sex is totally new concept for most people. That's why I'm here. That's why I do what I do, because I want to help make it easier for you guys to talk about and know that the more you talk about it and the more comfortable you are and the more you really get into that detail with your partner without blaming and shaming and just being more vulnerable and open, the better sex you're going to all have, I promise. This is Daniel who wrote me on Instagram, which again, I love hearing from you everywhere. You guys can message me on Instagram, but best to do it through the website. But Daniel, hey, Emily. So here's a few questions that came up while listening to your incredible podcast. Number one, is it weird for a guy to moan louder than a chick during sex? I've been told that it's not very masculine to be louder than her. Number two, what are your thoughts on chicks eating a guy's ass? I've had that happen to me twice with different girls and it felt amazing, but I'm a little ashamed to talk about it. Number three, should I be ashamed that I prefer a girl take control during sex? I also take control, but I like it when she knows what she wants and isn't shy about taking the reins. As you can tell, there's a common theme with my questions. Thanks again for taking the time to answer and keep slaying it. Okay, Daniel, these are all great questions. Yes, there is a common theme here. And the common theme, I understand, is that you want to know, are you normal? Is it okay that you're experiencing things that society has maybe set up aren't typically, or what you've heard from your friends aren't typically the male role? So let's break this down. So is it weird for a guy to moan louder than a chick during sex? I've been told it's not masculine to be louder than her. Where did you hear this? I've never even heard that. I mean, I think that it's really hot to just be loud and express yourself when you orgasm and to do you. Because that's the last thing we all need to be thinking is, how do I sound? What does my face look like when I orgasm? So I think if you're feeling it, be loud. Do your thing. Make your noises. My thoughts on chicks eating a guy's ass? My thoughts are yes. And especially because you've had it happen to you twice and it felt amazing. There's so many nerve endings and there's so much to play with, you know, in our anus. So I say yes, go for it. And you got to get rid of that shame, honey. Shame holds so many of us back from having the sex we want. We prejudge ourselves and we stop ourselves from having experiences. So I don't think that if you're with someone, you could just say, I think it'd be really hot if you lick my ass. Let's take a shower. Or what do you think about that? Or anal play turns me on. Does that turn you on? I mean, guys, I know I try to make it a lot easier, but sometimes just say it. Like, just ask the question. It's better than not asking. And as long as you do it in a tone that's not accusatory, like, why don't you ever lick my ass? And you're like, God, ass play is really fun for me. What about you? There, you did it, you said it, and you're getting your needs met. So that's my thing about anal licking. Should I be ashamed that I prefer a girl take control during sex? I also take control. No, I mean, there's no shame. You should not be shamed. You shouldn't be worried that you're not normal here. I'm going to tell you, no, don't be shamed and ask for what you want. There's a lot of people who switch. They like to be dominant. They like to be submissive. And I think that you're going to find a woman who's just dying to dominate you. And the sooner that you speak this to your partner that you're going to have sex with, that you're having sex with, the sooner you're going to be dominated. So how about that? All I'm telling you is, Daniel, you have my okay to go out into the world and ask for all these things and have incredible sex. And the only thing stopping you is you talking about it. Thanks, Daniel. I want to hear about all this. I'm going to take a quick break, but when I come back, I'm talking to Jonathan, who's struggling with delayed ejaculation. Okay, we have Jonathan. He's 30 from Florida, and he says he got married quickly and he takes too long to orgasm. Hey, Jonathan.
Hey, how are you, Emily?
I'm great. Tell me what's going on. Give me some background here.
Well, I guess you know the gist of it.
Yeah.
Met this really great girl and went on one date 2 weeks later, ended up getting married. We do sort of test drive things, I guess, like a couple of days before we get married, just, I don't know. And
as
on
you
that
should.
Night, I seem to be taking a very long time. And now I think that maybe it's just because I'm nervous, just because.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking maybe just because I'm nervous. She doesn't say anything. You know, she gets orgasm. She gets there.
Right.
And we don't speak about it again. So after we get married, we're doing it again. And this time she actually says something. And she says that I'm just taking a very long time. And I look at her, like I can't believe she's actually saying that, because no one's ever said that to me.
Right. Okay. That was my question for you.
Said that was a great
right.
thing.
Right. Right.
You know, everyone always, oh, you can go for a long time. That's great. But with her, she says, no, it doesn't take me very long. And if it ends up taking too long, at some point it just stops being
pleasurable. Yeah.
Pleasurable.
For her.
And it just, right. And it just starts to hurt. And I can't do that.
Right.
So ever since she told me that, every time we have sex, I think in my mind, okay, now that we're going, it's a race against time.
Oh,
we need to get
God.
There as quickly as possible, and ends up taking even longer because I'm constantly thinking about it.
Right.
To the point that now we're having even less sex, and I'm thinking that it's because of that reason. And I don't know what to do about it because I've never had this before.
Right. Okay. That was my question for you.
I mean,
okay. Because I wasn't sure when I read it. Like, how long would you say you typically last during intercourse?
45 minutes on average.
Okay, that's a long time. So, and how many women have you been with?
Right.
Not too long. I'm just saying, so on average, but if you wanted to go quicker, could you ejaculate after, say, 15 minutes ever?
I mean, I don't know. I've never timed myself, so
right.
I don't know. But
okay.
I'm thinking, I've been, not that I've been with a lot of women, but I mean, I've...
How many women have you...
I've been with enough women. To,
Right. You've been with enough women. Okay. So here's the thing. It sounds to me like it's what we call it is delayed ejaculation. After all the ejaculation challenges, premature ejaculation, or this is the one that's the most challenging in the sense of a lot of people think it could be, you know, psychological, which sounds like you really are getting more in your head about it. So it could have to do with that. Also, it could be caused by if you are drinking. Do you have much? Do you drink or take any drugs, medications?
No, I don't do any drugs or anything like that. I drink every now and then, but not to an extreme or anything like that.
So it sounds like it might be a case of delayed ejaculation because men who last longer than 30 minutes in bed and they have a harder time ejaculating before that, we would say that is a delayed ejaculation. So what about when you're masturbating? What goes on there?
That also takes a long time too. And for that reason, it's not something I do very often just because it seems like it just takes me a long time.
Right.
And
okay.
And I just end up getting frustrated.
And this has been,
and it's not, you know, yeah. Well, her feelings are hurt because she thinks it has something to do with her. And I keep telling her that it has nothing to do with her.
Right.
And that also, you know, plays a part in me thinking, okay, I need to go as fast as I can. And then.
Right. I totally understand it now. So she's feeling like, oh my God, like, why is it taking so long? Is it her? Is she not turning you on enough? Cause she's been with men who maybe come a lot quicker. So she's blaming herself as women often do. And you're like, no, babe, I'm still really attracted to you. So you guys have created this. So the good news is you just both have different interpretations of what's happening and the way she approached you the first time by saying you're taking too long during sex. If you've been listening to the show, I always say best not to talk about it in the bedroom and also not to blame. So it sounds like she made you feel worse, made you feel bad about this, that you're not pleasing her. So it sounds like we've got a communication problem going on.
And the thing is, I have told her that, and I told her that I think that's what is playing a part in it. So she hasn't said it again, but the fact that we're having even less sex now makes me wonder if that's the reason why, but she's just not saying anything because she doesn't want to hurt my feelings.
Right. Well,
you know,
I mean,
like she did before.
Can you get her, like, is there a way that you guys could do mutual masturbation and she could have orgasms in other ways? I mean, you guys are still really a new couple as well.
Right, right.
So, and how's your communication in other areas?
Oh, in other areas, it's great. I mean, I can talk to her about anything and vice versa. You know, we never struggle about talking about, you know, any kind of issue, right, whether it's at work or family or just between us.
And
communication
still
is really, really good.
Okay. Well, here's what I want to say about delayed ejaculation. So there's certain, like, they don't really know the cause of it. Like I said, a lot of people think it's psychological. You could also go to your doctor and just get checked out and let them know, because it's not that there's necessarily a problem. But when a man can never ejaculate, can't ejaculate at a certain amount of time, it can hurt a woman to have sex for 45 minutes every single time because there's chafing and,
right.
It, you know, it can be painful. But the problem is there's not a ton you could do unless you can get some of these things checked out and realize, like, figure out how your body works. So there could be, I assume you haven't had any, like, prostate surgery or anything like that, hormone-related conditions. Yeah. Have you ever gotten your testosterone checked? I'm just saying this is, like, it's good to get a checkout. Go to your regular doctor.
Okay.
But it's a little more trickier. So I feel like you guys just have a real talk about it, that this is how you have sex. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be a great lover to her, but understanding that this is the situation that you're in. This is the expectations that you don't come, just like women all, you know, some women can't orgasm in some positions, they can in others, they can't during intercourse, they can this way. We all have different ways that we orgasm, we experience pleasure. So just reassuring her that, you know, how much you love her, that you guys can work on this together. It's not just your problem to deal with and she's just going to sit there and wait. You know, she's got to learn that if you bring her into this, what you're dealing with, and you guys could help to solve it together. There's also, like, you could see a sex therapist. I mean, there are therapists that could help you. If we rule everything out, we find out that it's mostly psychological, although I'm not sure because it sounds like it's been happening to you since you remember, right? Since you were masturbating.
Right. I just thought, you know, no one's ever complained, so it's not
right,
a problem,
which is great. Because
I never thought about it.
Exactly. Because many women would be like, great, let's go as long as you want. So I feel like,
right,
get some more information, but also this is who you are. And so it also means that there has to be compromise, like every relationship. So perhaps you guys need to, like, when you have sex, maybe every other time you go till completion. And then sometimes, you know, you pull out and she finishes with a hand job, or you get a fleshlight and finish yourself, or you use your hand and she uses a toy, and you guys can figure out different ways to kind of work with this, because everyone's got sex challenges in their relationships, you know, masturbatos, right, different kinds of orgasms. So I feel, just being totally honest, it's not about her. Give her your history, and that you're on this mission now to kind of figure it out so you guys can work on it together. I think would be great if you make it both of your challenge together. But it's not the end of the world. But I think you just need some education and some advice from a doctor, and then see what happens after there.
Okay. Well, then we'll do that. I'll talk to her about it and see how she feels about you know, maybe going to see someone with me.
I think it's great.
Goes with me, it would help.
You can find a sex therapist too. You're in Florida?
Yes.
Okay, great. I'm sure you could find someone there through your help, you know, but just definitely get into it. There's a lot of reading. We have stuff on our site. We can send you some information, but you guys will be great. Just be honest.
Okay.
Communicate. Thanks, Jonathan.
Okay, we'll do that.
Have a great night. Bye. Thanks.
You too.
Men and ejaculation. There's a lot of different ejaculation challenges. Premature ejaculation, delayed ejaculation, retrograde ejaculation. Don't ask. There's a lot of different challenges. I understand. I think that it's always important to get checked out by your doctor and then to work it within the relationship. You know, also I'm thinking he could definitely, you know, I always talk about foreplay, not a suggestion, a requirement for men too. Sometimes men could have, you know, they could turn this into foreplay. You know, he could, you know, give her, they could get into some massage and some teasing and some cuddling. And God, I'm a huge fan of it. That also enhances intimacy. So as they're getting to know each other, I would also say, you know, take some time to kind of work on your connection in that way and just make the communication honest, straightforward, and transparent. All right. This is from Aaliyah, 26 in Washington. Hi, Emily. So my husband and I have only been married for 2 years, but we recently had a baby. We don't have a lot of time to have sex, so it's always a quickie. My husband hates performing oral sex, but still wants me to. I'm bisexual, and there are oftentimes he just wants to have someone join us, but I am just too jealous for that. How do I spice up our love life and get him to perform oral sex or foreplay? And how do I shut him down about the threesome without hurting his feelings? Okay, Aaliyah, there's a lot going on here. But first, let me get this straight. Let me play this back to you. You just had a baby. You gave birth to like a human being came out of your vagina. You had a C-section. I'm not sure. But you had a baby. You carried a child for 9 months. And he's asking you for blowjobs and wants to outsource it to another woman who he might also disappoint because he doesn't want to go down on her. You had a baby, so I feel like, and in fact, what I tell a lot of couples is you might just not be ready yet for sex and you might just need some foreplay. In fact, my recipe, if you guys came to see me, I would say, you know what? I think you got to give Aaliyah some foot rubs, some intimacy, you know, some back rubs, some oral. Like, I think this is the time where you got to get off your feet and you need some love and some pampering. So you guys have been together for 2 years. And I think that this is just a conversation you have to have with him because he hates oral sex and wants to be with someone else and you want to spice it up. Have you guys ever talked about your sex life? It sounds like things have moved really quickly. So if you've been together 2 years and you already have a baby, I'd say for a year of it, you've been pregnant and now you have a child. So I think you have to rewind to the very basic sex talk here and you got to have this conversation with him straight up. I mean, you are telling me that he hates performing oral. So I'm just going to assume that he has said those exact words to you. Because remember, sometimes we put words in our partner's mouth. Maybe one time he said it's not his thing or he hasn't had experiences. But what you're saying is he hates it. So if he actually said it, you could say, babe, I want you to know that receiving oral sex from you is one of my biggest turn-ons. Can you tell me more about what it is about oral sex that doesn't agree with you, that you don't like? And then just listen to his answers. If it's that he's not sure that he's pleasing you. I mean, I've heard crazier things. He might say, oh, I do it all the time, but it seemed like you didn't like it for all you know. Couples have very different experiences in the same relationship. So a little mutual masturbation could be great. If he's like, I'm not sure what you like, the two of you, you know, you touch yourself, he touches himself, and you figure out so you can get your oral sex. I don't think that you in any way need to give up oral sex in this relationship or your pleasure. You can also get a toy. Just make sure that you're getting yours because, as I said, having orgasms are so important, whether you're in a relationship, out of a relationship, and definitely after you had a child, I think some orgasms would be amazing for you if you're not already masturbating. And then as for the assumption that you are bisexual and that he wants someone else to join, especially right now when if you just had a baby, I'm assuming you're not really in the mood for entertaining or to have a threesome. So I don't know if you guys like arrange something around this or he assumes this is going to be like a monthly thing, but if you're not, you know, really ready to have a threesome right now, I would tell him that that's something that's put on hold for a while. So this is when you speak up as the mom and the wife and the woman who has very, very specific needs that are required to be met and either he's in or he's out. So I think that there's that less worrying about his feelings and more worrying about getting your message across to getting what you need in bed. This is from Emma, 22, Australia. Hi, Emily. I've been with my boyfriend for 8 years. He's amazing and we have regular sex. It feels good, but I've never orgasmed. My boyfriend tries to go down on me and do things for me even when he's had an orgasm. He's always willing to keep going on me, but I never feel comfortable enough to be pleasured alone because I know I either won't like it or even if I do, he'll be going forever before anything is even close to an orgasm. I also don't masturbate because I don't think it feels good. I've tried with toys too, but I just get over it after a few minutes. It's almost like I begin to climax, and then when I'm about to orgasm, everything fizzles out and I lose interest. Thoughts? Okay, Emma, this is a great question. I think you sound just like how I felt about your age. I wasn't really sure either about sex and what felt good, but this is really all about you and taking the time to just go for it, to figure out your body. There is no quick fix here. You have to put in the time, but you guys, this is fun. Like, I'm telling you, Emma, that you should try to, you know, go to bed a little earlier or wake up in the morning a little earlier or just take a quick break and take 20 minutes, 30 minutes by yourself without the goal of orgasm, just touching yourself and realizing like where your erogenous zones are. How do you orgasm? What makes you feel good? And you said that you used a toy for a few minutes. Well, maybe you need to go in a lower setting, or some, for some women, a vibrator can be a little strong at the beginning. You can use it over your underwear. Try some lube. I mean, the reason why we don't all orgasm so easily is because we're all different. So we literally have, it's an inside job. We literally have to do this on our own. So I can give you all the tools. I can give you a lot of suggestions, but Emma, you're the only one that's going to be able to figure it out. And I think you're also really in your head about this too. So you're already going into sex with this notion and masturbation that nothing feels good and nothing's going to work, which I can also relate to, kind of having that tape in your head that plays back all these things. But remember, they're not true. So the next time you sit down with yourself or with your partner, just try to be present and focus and breathe. I mean, like, focus on your breath and the sensations you're feeling in your body. And anytime you have those thoughts that are defeatist and that's not going to happen, just watch them go past you and go back to your breath and what you're feeling in the moment, whether it's in masturbation or connecting with your partner. And also, it's okay that this is a journey towards orgasm. You're not wrong. We don't have to fix you. Nothing is broken. All I'm asking you to do is take some time, some self-loving in your bedroom to figure out your body. And this is going to be good. And you're going to love it. You're welcome. Let me know how it goes. Thanks, Emma. Be right back after this quick word from our sponsors. Thank you so much for supporting them. And after the break, I talked to Kevin, who's wondering how to help his wife relax for some anal play. Okay, we have Kevin. He's 37 in Ohio, and he wants to know how to get his wife to relax for anal play. Hey, Kevin.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm so good. Happy to be talking to you. Tell me what's going on.
Well, wife and I have kind of started dabbling into the anal play action. And when we get into it, I think she has a hard time relaxing. She often says even inserting a finger can be painful.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of about as far as we went. We tried some smaller plugs and kind of gotten the same problem.
Okay. Well, do you do some foreplay first so she has a clitoral orgasm first? Have you tried
I've tried about... She's stimulatable.
Okay. Oh, good.
There's been times where she's had like, say, 10 or 15 before we even get into that kind of thing.
Okay. And does she want to try anal?
She does.
She really wants it. Okay.
She
does. Because how many times have you guys tried now and it hasn't really worked?
Around 10, maybe.
Okay. Because that's enough to make it seem like, I feel like we got to try something totally different. So, first of all, I would say maybe we need a little break. But also, I'm wondering if it's... Is she really, because it's really all about your breath. Like, it's really like deep, deep breath into your like pelvic floor. Like, she breathes all the way down. It's like that full body in and out and just breathing. And maybe you don't even start with a toy. And you said if the finger's hurting, maybe you just need to start stimulating the nerve endings on the outside, because there's so many nerve endings that it feels great if you just take some lube and like use your finger to get her used to that kind of sensation. Because you're saying even a pinky hurts her, even a little bit.
Yeah, I mean... Let's say a middle finger is about as much as she can tolerate at any given point.
Okay.
Like you said, kind of warming up around the area and that general idea. That's kind of what we do anyway.
Right.
So I wouldn't say that's abnormal for us to go that route.
Right. Because the truth is, it can't be painful, especially the first time or first few times you try it. Or for a lot of people, it's painful and they breathe and then it feels better once they get going, right? It goes inside. It can be at first getting towards the opening of it, and then when the penis gets inside, it can feel a little bit better. So I don't know if it's just more about her like deeply, deeply breathing into this, or you just need to like I don't know, if she's having really bad pain that she can't handle anymore, then maybe you guys need to take a break from it. Because what I would tell you is she has to breathe. She has to go slow. You can try different positions. Like you could try with her like in the spooning position or her like laying down so she's really comfortable. Like maybe she gets, you give her a full body massage, right? All over her body. Like you literally massage her butt, her legs, her chest. And so she's like really, really relaxed. And like you could put a pillow under her back, or if she's lying on her side, that could be a way that makes it just more comfortable for her. So she's like elevated and comfortable. And then maybe you use your pinky finger and it's like you just kind of go really, really slow and move it in and out. But if it's just seriously like after half of a finger, it's too painful and you're doing all of these things, you know, you might have to take a break or have her put a toy in herself and then she's experimenting. But there could be something with you there that it's created a lot more anxiety now with the two of you. Because I'm telling you, 10 times of trying and not succeeding, what happens with sex is a lot of our challenges are psychological. We get in our head. So she's like, it's going to hurt, you know, and then she's thinking it's going to hurt and it might not even be hurting. She just might be like afraid for the hurt. So I think
kind of think that's where she's at with it. She's even tried on her own and says she gets somewhat progress, but not a lot,
right?
We'll say. I'm wondering if different positions. We've tried doggy style and some missionary style stuff too.
I would have her lying on her back with like a pillow underneath her butt or like her lower back and like her legs go back like over her head or over your shoulders, you know, like if you're on top for missionary. So she's elevated. And so I would try that. She's spreading her legs. You're using tons of lube. Like you're just reapplying, and you're just going slow and she's breathing. So every time you push in, she's breathing in and then she releases and you push in more. So when you start, she takes a deep breath and then you thrust a little more either with your finger or your penis. And then she lets go. When she breathes out, you push a little more. So there's this whole rhythm to it. I know you've done it all. So Kevin, I'm not sure here. I don't know what to tell you because if she's, and you think she's really in her head. So what if you just take the pressure off and you're like, you know what? We're not going to do anal. We're not going to try for another month or something. And maybe when you guys are out of town in a different location, do you guys have kids around? Are your life's best? Okay. Do you have like a vacation plan this summer? Right. So it can be kind of like, if she's stressed in every other area of her life, it's going to be really hard to kind of just fit in a little bit anal if there's other stress things happening. Because it sounds like she's having a really hard time relaxing. That. Yeah. Why?
Because we went on vacation and things got where she was actually like forcing my hand into anal play, which is, let's say, out of the norm. But we were on vacation, so I wonder if that had something to do with it. Like, hey, this is new.
It's always vacation. It's not magic. Vacation sex is so underrated. I want to tell every couple, like, I don't care if you have to just go into the same town and have your parents come over and babysit for 3 hours. If you get out of your house, out of your bedroom, you rent a hotel room, obviously a full-on vacation is great of a few days. But just removing yourself from the same place you have sex with the kids and the laundry and the bills, it's that novelty and that newness and that excitement that of like being in a new place together without all the pressures of home. So that's what I think you got to do. Take her away this summer, make her a whole thing, make it about her, get a babysitter and then work on it again, but also take the pressure off. And I think if she meditates, that's really good. It sounds like in other areas, she just might need some relaxation techniques, some yoga, some stretching.
That's kind of what I'm leaning towards. She needs to get through her head to relax about it.
Right.
And I even let her try on me, thinking if she could experiment on me, she would have more comfort on with her and kind of that route.
Okay. Well, I get it. Yeah. I think that sounds good. I think that it's really about her right now and not in a way that she's the only one who could control her anxiety. And I think doing meditation, because meditation is all about, you know, taking your mind off your thoughts during sex or during anything and then focusing on what's happening in the moment. So her breath, when every time she's thinking, oh no, it's going to hurt, she goes back to her breath and back to the feeling in her body. But there's a great app called Headspace. It's a great meditation app. She could start with like 10 minutes a day. But I'm telling you, meditation is so helpful for so many people and it's game changer when it comes to sex.
That sounds fun.
Okay, Kevin, let me know how it goes. You both want it to happen. It's going to happen. I promise you. Take that vacation. Bye, Kevin.
Yes, maybe that's the way to go. I appreciate
it. It always is. Okay, bye. Have a great night.
Bye.
Bye. You guys, vacation sex, vacation sex, vacation sex. Go on that vacation. And you know what? You're not a bad parent and a bad person if you leave your kids at home. In fact, I think that it shows that you're better parents because you are prioritizing your relationship, okay? To take time. If you have kids that are of a certain age, let's say they're 3 or 5, and you've never left town without them, it is time. But if you can't go on vacation, which I understand, or you just don't have time alone, so much of the things that we're talking about during sex are psychological, which is good news, right? A lot of our anxieties and insecurities are just coming from our mind. So meditation practice is, I mean, it's helped me with so many areas of my life. And don't get me wrong, I still have anxiety and stress, but the meditation just allows you to get a handle on your thoughts so you literally can control them and direct them or just let them go during sex so you can focus on truly just being in the moment, being present, being in your body, and having way more satisfying sex. This is from Gilbert, 43, in New York. Dear Emily, do women really want to be approached anytime and anywhere? Laundromat, parks, supermarket? After a date, is it okay to just ask if she wants to have sex? Also, is it true that women are more open to casual sex? I ask this because of the hashtag MeToo movement. I'm a nice guy. I'm just lonely in life. I need physical touch. Oh, God, we all need physical touch. I totally understand that, Gilbert. So this is a really important question, especially in the wake of all the Me Too. And I feel like it makes sense that you might be a little confused right now about women want and thinking twice, which I think isn't a bad thing, that a lot of men are kind of fearful if they've maybe been appropriate in the past. And I feel for you because all we're getting now is a lot of criticism about men and what they're doing, what they did wrong, but we're not getting a roadmap for how to move forward. So as far as you approaching women, it's totally fine to approach a woman wherever, you know, strike up a conversation. If you just approach a woman and you're not creepy and you just start talking to her because you're both waiting for your laundry to dry and then you strike up a conversation and you think she's attractive and you ask her out, I wouldn't lead with, hey, you want to go have sex? I would just try to like have a conversation and see if you actually like this person, if she's into you too. I think as long as you're mindful in your approach and you're more focused on a guy that she likes and someone she wants to hang out with rather than just saying, hey, do you want to have sex? That's what I would say about talking and approaching women. Most of the guys I've met and that I've dated, I've met in real life. Like I've met them at a conference or at a restaurant or walking down the street, literally. So it wasn't like they had some magic pickup line. They were just cool guys and I started talking to them. And no, it's not because they looked a certain way or anything else. It's like for me and for a lot of women, if a guy approaches you with confidence and he makes you feel safe and you have a good conversation, you're pretty much going to be able to meet a lot of people that way. And I also understand that it takes practice. So Gilbert, this might make you a little nervous, but the more you just talk to women without even the goal of like wanting to sleep with them, I promise you this will make life so much easier for you and probably easier to find women and talk to women. You'll probably make a lot more friends this way as well. Because even if a woman decides she doesn't want to sleep with you, she might have a really cute friend. And as far as, is it okay just to ask her if she wants to have sex? I mean, let me ask you this. I mean, think about it. If you're just like had a great day and you guys are leaving the restaurant or whatever you did and you're walking down the street and you just said, hey, you want to have sex? I mean, I know if a guy said that to me, we were having a great day and he's like, want to have sex? I'd probably go running away. I'd be like, oh, peace out. It's off-putting. It's going to be kind of jarring when we're just getting along and we're talking. So I would say no, that could be very weird and awkward for a woman. And the best thing to do is just kind of gauge how you guys are, you know, connecting to each other. Is there chemistry? You know, do you want to kiss her? Like, I'd much rather have a makeout session and then kind of we're both getting into it and then we kind of know where it's going to go next rather than just abruptly saying, let's go have sex. So I think that what we're talking about here is a little bit of you slowing down and practicing talking to women and talking to people and making connections. Because once you make authentic connections with people and it's not just about sex and it's not just about like curing your loneliness, because we can all smell desperation, okay? It's an ugly, ugly cologne. We can smell it, men and women, we put it out there. But the more that you practice talking to people or just having a fuller life and a community around you, you're going to be such a better place to meet more people and more confident in your skin. And it'll make life a lot easier. And you probably won't have the same questions about escalating towards sex. Because the truth is, once you're in the space of truly being yourself, being authentic, being confident, and coming from a place of strength, you're not going to be wondering what comes next, because it'll just flow, which is what happens when people have a real connection and chemistry. It's a flow. So that's why I think you got some work cut out for you. But this is fun, Gilbert. I'm telling you to go out and talk to women and get into a good group with yourself. That's it for today's episode. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to podcasts, and share this with a friend or a partner. Believe me, if you got something out of this, they will too. We release 2 to 3 episodes a week. Find me on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. It's all @Sex with Emily. If you want to ask me a question about sex, dating, or relationships, you can email me feedback@sexwithemily.com or sexwithemily.com/askemily. And check out my website. We have so many articles on there helping you better sex. And you can check out our guides at sexwithemily.com/guides for free guides that will give you expansive tips and activities. Sign up for our weekly emails because, hey, I've been told I give really good emails. Was it good for you? Email me feedback@sexwithemily.com.